Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So it's a crowd of gents here. So this is my last session and here in SU Europe. It's regarding something around how Microsoft Azure is really an open cloud. And let me introduce myself. My name is Janaka Rangama, and I'm a technical consultant for a company called Infront Consulting Group. And I do have a blog, and this is my Twitter handle. If you want to just ask some questions around Azure, some System Center stuff, you can just tweet me. I'm a tweet away. So a little bit about myself. I'm a Microsoft MVP for cloud and data center management. And I do deployments on Windows Server, System Center, Azure, and some cross-platform deployments on Red Hat as well. So I'm a community lead for a user group in Sri Lanka called Sri Lanka IT Pro Forum. And without further ado, let's see what we have in Azure regarding open source. So this is a kind of like a demo-driven scenario. I'm going to present a couple of demos on the open source options that we have in Azure. So the first thing we are going to look at, what is this cross-platform CLI? And then we are going to see what are the infrastructure as a service options that we have on Azure. And then the hot topic, as you can see a nice bunch of containers here. Everybody's asking me what containers are, what is containers, what we can do with it. Everybody seems to talk about containers. Nobody talks about virtualization. What's really it? And something cool that we got, I think last week from Microsoft release, that is Windows Server containers, what it really is. Now we have open source containers and Windows containers. I have a simple demo on that, running an ASP.NET application on a container. So that's all I have to present. And after the session is over, if you have any questions, I will be out, or you can just come to me and ask anything you want to know. Can I know how many of you are currently working with Linux or any other open source stuff daily, regularly? OK. I can see more experienced people than me. So if you have any questions on how this stuff works with Azure, just let me know. So what is this XPLAT CLI? So it's actually the cross-platform command line interface that Azure has. Now, if you tell the shell scripting or whatever the features that Microsoft Azure has for Windows, it's obviously PowerShell. How about a Mac user? How about a Fedora desktop user? Do they have any interface to probe with Azure? Any command line? Yes. It is what we call as the cross-platform CLI. It's just a package you install. Once you install that, you can use Windows command prompt, or Mac terminal, or GNOME terminal, something like that. And the commandlets are same. You can use that there. So what you can do with it is, for Windows, you have the PowerShell like that. For OS X, Linux, and even Windows, you can use this cross-platform CLI. This is a fairly new thing. Not much people have been using this one. And of course, people use different devices, different platforms. So with that, if you are a shell guy, if you're a person who believes the famous quote saying, where there is a shell, there is a way, this is for you. And one important thing I need to highlight, I'm not sure whether there was any session on Azure Resource Manager, right? If you need to manage ARM or Azure Resource Manager, those kind of objects, you will have to have a Azure AD account, not a Microsoft account. So if you sign up for Azure subscription, you are using a Hotmail or Outlook account, right? But for ARM with XPLAT CLI, you need an Azure AD account. That means basically what? A Office 365 account, maybe a Azure AD account created in your Azure subscription, like that. OK, so this is something not new, right? So I really believe in that, because for me, IT is all about using the tools and making our life easier, right? So that's why Microsoft has decided to focus more on open source, to make their products more open to the community and work on that. They do a pretty much good job at that. So why Linux, right? We have Windows. Why Linux? Because our environments are heterogeneous, right? We have heterogeneous workloads. And we have special workloads that run on Linux or Unix, right? And organizations need Linux for those kind of enterprise applications. And especially, Linux is a first-class citizen in Hyper-V. That means you have multiple distributions available in both Azure and Hyper-V, and it has a tremendous support for all those distributions. So, what is this Azure Linux agent? What it does? Now, when you provision a virtual machine in Azure, right, you have the option to select whether to install the VM agent or not. For Windows, you have a Windows VM agent. For Azure, you have an Azure Linux agent. Remember, if you are deploying a virtual machine a Linux virtual machine, this is something you cannot skip. I'll tell you why. In your data center, it's far, far away. It's in Caribbeans. You forget the root password. How are you going to reset that? Is there any way that you can go to single user mode to Caribbean? Is there any way? No, right? Same thing. We don't know where these data centers are in Azure. Somebody accidentally, forgets the root password. How do you reset that? And we lose the SSH connection. How are you going to reset that? Okay, those kind of extending scenarios can be done using this Azure Linux agent. And actually, it kind of like a bridge between the hypervisor and the guest OS, right? And especially the last part, it supports VM extensions, the scenarios that I'm talking about, resetting the administrator password, resetting the SSH config, installing SSH, kind of like those custom extensions are fully supported if you have this. But you don't have to worry. It's a must. So it is there. So what are these VM extensions? VM extensions are what? They are added functionality for your Linux VMs or Windows VMs. You have extensions for Windows VMs as well. So you have an option called custom script. It is where you create your shell script, okay? You upload it. And say if you want to, I have a demo on that. I'll install the LAMP suite into Linux Virtual Machine. So this is where you create scripts that you want to run on the first time that the server boots and make it on a standard base level, right? And it's not limited to a specific scripting language, right? If you have Perl, you can use Perl. If you have Python, you can use Python. But we love shell scripting. So we can use that. So the other thing is there's an extension called VM Access Extension, right? So in this VM Access Extension, what you can do is you can reset the SSH key. You can ensure the port 22 is open, because for us Linux admins, port 22 is the whole is the Hail Mary. Okay. So and again, if you want to reset the SSH server configuration, you can do that with this VM Access Extension. And good news, you have an extension for OS patching. Say you're running CentOS or something like that, and you don't have a satellite server running, right? But you need kind of like a patching automation kind of solution for your VMs on Azure, which are running Linux. How do we do that? You can use this simple extension, right? So there are many extensions, currently around 7 to 10, and Microsoft is, they are frequently updating them, so you can try that. At the end of the session, in my slide deck, this will be available after the presentation. So there are some links that I have provided. You can go to them and study this stuff and get familiar with it. Now, I have the first demo now, so we are trying to see how we can, connect to this cross-platform CLI, whether we can see what are with it, and then we are trying to deploy a Linux virtual machine with that custom script extension. What we are going to try here is we are going to try installing a LAMP server into a Linux virtual machine. So let's move into the first demonstration. Okay.
Right.
The first thing you have to do is, now, if you have, this is a small installable file. Once you install that, you can use the command prompt or the PowerShell. I have a Windows computer. That's why I have to use the command line. If I had a Mac terminal, I can use the terminal there, right? So the first thing I need to make sure is that I have to connect to my Azure subscription. So for that, what we can do is we can type the command called Azure account download. So this will download the published setting files for your Azure account, right? I have already downloaded that. As you can see, it's there, right? So this will go to Azure page. You enter the credentials. It will download a small published settings file. So I can skip that. And now I'm going to import that file. OK, this is my published settings file. OK, it says import successful. So now let's see, what do we have with this cross-platform CLI? I'm not going to create a VM, because I know you guys are more familiar with creating VMs and whatnot. Let's just see some basic stuff that we can do with it. So this commandlet actually lists my subscriptions. So as you can see, I have two subscriptions. One is actually the current subscription, and the other is the non-current subscription. So I'm going to switch over to this non-current one. Okay. So let's list the account. Okay. Well, I'm trying to see if I have any virtual machines running on that subscription. Okay. I have one virtual machine running on that subscription, right? So here, I can switch from ARM to the regular classic management model in Azure as well. So for that, I can say I can switch between that. But remember, I'm running this classic mode here. If you are switching to ARM, it'll ask you for a credential. Right? Which should be what? An Azure AD account. So if you want to clear out from here, you just have to type okay. Sure. So that's it. All right. So let's move into the second scenario where we have a trying to deploy a sample shell script to Azure and provision a kind of like a web server there. So I already have my script there. So this is a basic script that I use to deploy MySQL and some text to PHP, basic web server. So I can save this as a text file, right? So after that, what I can do with it is, now, I have already deployed the Linux virtual machine. So if you want to know how to do a Linux virtual machine, I'm using the new Azure portal because this is the DevOps portal, which will be coming very soon. I highly recommend you to get used to it because this has many options coming up. So I'm going to deploy a traditional virtual machine. A traditional virtual machine would be classic. So the difference between traditional and the new one is the new virtual machines are managed by Azure Resource Manager. So they are categorized into something, some groups called resource groups. So here, I already have one deployed. So if I go to the settings section, I have an option called extensions where I can add one of these. And here, I'm going to select custom script. So I have already done the custom script part. That's why you can see when I go to the this section, it says there's already one deployed. No harm of deploying again. So I'm going to go to a custom script for Linux and create. So since I already have deployed, it will give me a warning. Here, you are just selecting that file. and any arguments you are providing here. So the virtual machine will restart in the backend once this is done, right? You will see the status as updating. So one thing you have to remember is, now, since this is a web server that I'm deploying from the GUI, right, I need to make sure that inbound traffic for that web server is allowed. So if you are a GUI guy, you need to make sure all your endpoints are allowed. So next thing after this virtual machine comes up live, you need to make sure that you have make a port opening for port 80 or 443 or whatever the port you want, right? So that's that. And I think I already have it up and running. So this is the URL. If I type this in a browser, it'll just come up with the PHP page. So this is the same page, right? Sorry. This is the page, actually, I should go with the PHP file. So I have something, some text there called my demo app. So that's it. So this is really great if you want to deploy your own Linux virtual machine according to your custom configuration. OK? So there are some tools like Chef and Puppet available in Linux as well. So if you're really interested in that, learning those stuff, there's a good documentation available in the Azure documentation site. There's a separate open source team for that. So they are regularly updating that. So you can try those out. And that's a little bit about Azure IIS options and Xsplat CLI. So let's see the big hype, containers. So can anyone tell me what do we do with a regular container? Why do we have containers in the road? You have large prime movers. You put containers into ships. What's the requirement? Yeah, you put some stuff there, right? You put some, say, some clothes or some exports there here in Switzerland and put it in the ship, and you export that to Sri Lanka, right? So a consumer in Sri Lanka, some enterprise, someone, take off that container and will use it, will consume that, right? So a container is what? Kind of like a basket, kind of like a transportation medium, right? And say if you are a diversified manufacturer, you have a couple of containers. Inside that, you might have clothes, shoes, maybe exercise machines, kind of like that, right? So these are separated in their own boundaries, in separate boxes. So the idea behind containers in IT is same. Containers provide isolated environments for application, right? So there is this confusion between containers and virtualization. Containers are not not virtualization platforms. It actually virtualizes the application. How many of you have used the tool called Sandbox? There is a tool available as Sandbox where you type it in. If you want to run a suspicious file, you run it there, right? So it's like a kind of like a sandbox. It's separated from the OS, right? So containers abstract the application from the operating system itself, right? So sometimes we virtualize our workloads mainly because we need to do what? We need to segregate it from the OS, right? Sometimes we use bare metal hypervisor, thinking that many updates are there. If I virtualize, I have to patch the virtual machine plus the host, right? But actually, my requirement should be what? My requirement will be what? Running a simple ASP.NET site, running a simple SQL database, running a simple web app, right? For that reason, I'm trying to allocate a huge chunk of memory for a virtual machine, huge processing power, right? So this is kind of like lightweight virtualization. You can use this, right? And you can deploy any number of containers in a single host, OK? So we will be discussing the difference between Linux containers and Windows containers and Hyper-V containers. Still, Windows containers are not finished up yet, right? But it will be finished and be polished by the release of Windows Server 2016. And how it works. Now, containers are isolated, as I say, If you put containers into a ship, they are isolated. But they share the same space in the ship. Same thing. Containers are isolated, but they share the same OS kernel, right? And if any binary or library is needed, they will share them as well, right? So as you can see, the difference between virtualization and containers, in a hypervisor, you have separate guest OSs. They have their own binaries and libraries, and then you have applications on top of that. But in containers, you have the host OS, right? And then you have the container engine. Here we are actually talking a little bit about Docker. It's one of the famous container engine, right? And then you have the applications running on that, right? So if we take a little bit of a look around the container ecosystem, right? Now, the first question I get when I present this is, okay, now, can you tell me, I develop an application for Linux, maybe running on Apache, something like that, any application for Linux, right? I want to run that in a Windows server. Plus, I have a Windows server level application, a desktop application, a web application, which requires some Windows component, right? Which is an EXE, and I can't run that on Linux. Can containers help in this situation? Your answer is yes. Regardless of the platform, regardless of the infrastructure, regardless of the OS, container is just a basket. You put it there, and you use it, right? That is the simple idea behind that. Regardless of the platform, regardless of the hypervisor, regardless of the service you are using, right, OS itself, you package this into a small container, a box, right? And then you put it to a central repository. Then you can distribute that to multiple operating systems. So for development guys, for say you have a development team in Cuba, you have a QA team in maybe in Malaysia, they are using Linux and you are using Windows. The application is Windows level application, but your QA team says, I can't change my Linux computers, so give me a way to run this application. Because if I don't approve this application, you are all screwed. Okay? So maybe your users, the target market says, okay, 50% of our users are using Windows. Another 50 is Linux. So how do we provide this application for Linux users? You make this application a containerized application. So if you see here, you see something called container images. So this is where you actually keep that application, right? Then you keep it in a central repository, like GitHub, right? Where everyone can contribute, change, and they can have pull requests for this image and push, and then deploy. So this little bit terms about this technology, right? So kind of like I try to give some simple explanation on this terminology we have. So the Docker client is basically your interface to the Docker host, right? So when I say Docker, it's not only about Docker. You have many other container systems as well. So I choose Docker because it's more famous, right? You use this container client or the Docker client to connect to the container host, right? So the Docker daemon, you know what a daemon is, right? It's not that kind of a daemon. In Linux, a daemon is a process, right? So what we use this is for is the management engine that is residing in the container host, okay? So a Docker Hub is the registry where it keeps all these images, right? And the access permission, things like that, okay? Now, we have the engine, we have the command, we have the interface, we have the repository, and now we need the baskets or the containers. So the containers are the baskets where we give and put our applications, containerized applications, right? So images, again, are the packages that you're going to deploy. And there is a special thing called a Docker file, right? Dockerfile is actually the broker. It has the brokering information about how to provision this container, what should we do, how we do the port mapping or permissions. Those information is actually in this small file called the Docker file, right? So some news, Docker and the container support is with Windows Server 2016. Currently, we have the Windows Server 2016 Technical Preview 3. We have Windows Server containers available. It's in preview. So there's good documentation about that. You can try that and get used to that, right? So this is good news. So you no longer can say for your customers, I'm a Linux guy, don't give me Windows applications. I'm not going to run that. Then somebody will ask, you have containers. Please make a containerized application. So it's really cool thing that you can integrate these two platforms like this. Now, if we look at the isolation in this app, in this containerized application, right? So as you can see here, now I'm going to talk about the Windows containers. Linux containers has been there for some time, right? So the new thing is the Windows containers. So there are two options, something called Windows container, something called Hyper-V containers. Even myself was, for myself even, it was really confusing, why do you have two? Why do you need kind of like Windows containers, Hyper-V containers, right? Like that. So here, in the next slide, I'm going to describe what is the difference and why do we need two separate types of containers in Windows environment, right? And again, it is like write once, deploy anywhere. That we already discussed. You just deploy the code. Maybe you create it for Windows. Maybe you create for Linux. All that matters is if your operating system supports containerized application, that's it. Now, the need for Hyper-V containers, right? So if you take the Windows Server containers, it's actually you have the container engine running on the Windows Server, physical server, where you can deploy multiple containers and inside that multiple applications. Now, the other thing is you use a shared kernel, right? But the applications are isolated. That means your isolation level is at the user mode. What will happen in a multi-tenant environment, right? That means you have many, many applications, many, many containers running. If somebody puts a malicious code to a container and it tries to corrupt the host kernel, the isolation wouldn't matter since it is the shared kernel still. And again, you're going to patch your operating system, right? You are going to have a different level of OS versions, right? Service pack 1, 2, 3, and you have a bunch of patches, right? So in that case, if one patch or a OS level is not compatible with one application or couple of applications, that might be an issue, right? So that's why we need a second level of isolation. Right? So I think, have you all attended Christian's session in the morning? Nano server? He asked the question, have you seen the movie Inception? A dream within a dream within a dream? This is kind of like a similar. You have multiple level of depth into that, right? So where you can have more levels of isolation with this. So the idea behind this technology is you already know about Nano server. When it is released, you can just use it as a containerized platform. A 600 meg of installation, right? Installation media, you just deploy without any CLI, and you deploy containers into that, that's it. So for most administrators or most people who are working with these technologies, right, the complaint I'm getting, okay, Microsoft is a GUI tool, right? Why do I have to invest learning on this command line? But serious administrators know that you should start with the command line and then move to the UI. But again, clicking, if you try to click like 1,000 times to do a task, rather than that, you can just script that. Type it once, press enter, done deal. So that is what makes this technology special. So you deploy it once and then you just monitor or manage it. It's error prone. So this is the architecture, high-level architecture that we have today with Windows Server containers and Hyper-V containers. As you can see, the Windows Server containers has a shared kernel. Okay, so the binaries and libraries are also shared, right? What will happen if a malicious code comes in, right? It could jeopardize the entire situation. But if you go to the Hyper-V containers, your containers are running, or the container engine is running inside the Hyper-V virtual machine. You have a base image inside that. That means, again, maybe a nano server, maybe a full OS, maybe a server core. And in that, you can have the containerized application. So this is not just one. You can have many, many containers. OK. So how do we deploy these containers in Hyper-V? Right? So you are looking at the way of virtualization. Of course, you need a physical server. And then if you need Hyper-V containers, you deploy virtual machines, right? Inside that. And then inside those virtual machines, you can actually create Hyper-V containers. Or here, in the base level itself, you can have a Windows Server container, right? So what are the advantages, right? Standardizing application packaging. What does that mean? The scenario I have explained. You create a universal application for any platform. Linux, Unix, macOS, Windows. Same standard, same QA, same process. So you deploy it as a containerized app. Windows support containers, Linux support containers, Mac maybe support containers. That's it. So you are running that application as a container. So you don't have to worry about, you know, changing the source code for different platforms. And you can use the existing investment, right? This is actually not memory consuming kind of like thing. You don't have to worry about the actual memory you have. So if, say, if you have a 16 gig of server having 16 gig of RAM, and you have a couple of like 5-6 applications that should be run, you may think, OK, if I'm going to virtualize, I may need 64 gig or something like that. But still, if it's really straightforward and can be deployed like into container, you can virtualize it with containers, right? Easy to package and ship programs, right? The basic idea behind containers is you put something in, then you ship it, right? So you can easily put that into a central repository, and then you can work on that, right? And here, it's a lightweight virtualization technology. It's not actually the virtualization we use in the x64 level virtualization, right? And you can obviously save money with containerized apps. Okay, so we are going to see a demonstration on deploying Docker or these containers in Azure. So I will be using something that you might not like. I will be using Visual Studio, right? Because I need to show you the how developers or the guys who are actually deploying this application, without our involvement, they can just deploy that to their environment itself, right? We are there just to monitor. Okay, so I'm going to deploy a ASP.NET application to a containerized environment. So first thing I do is, okay. So I have Visual Studio 2015. And if you are interested in containers and don't like this, right, PowerShell is there. You can always use that and deploy your packages. So I'm. It's easier for me to create a web application from here and just deploy. It's a basic application. A basic Hello World is going to be. So I'm going to create a new project, right? Here I'm going to give it a name, and I can say SCU demo or something like that, right? It's a web application, and it'll ask what type. Okay, I'm using an ASP.NET 5 preview template for that, and it'll create the project. So once you create the project, the next thing you do is you put in the code, you deploy, you put the UIs and pictures and whatnot, and then you should decide where you are going to deploy this. You can deploy this into a Azure website, right, or a virtual machine straightly from Visual Studio. And again, the new option you have is containers. So if I go, I can always build this project and then publish, but I'm not going to do build this project because once I press publish and do the necessary configurations, there's a build happening automatically. So when I click publish, it'll ask, where do you want to publish this application? So do I need to put it to an Azure web app or Azure website? Any Docker container? So I'm going to go with Docker. So here, I have the option of creating a new Docker VM or selecting an existing one. So I think I have two VMs here, these two, right? If I want to create a new virtual machine, I'm going to just go to new. And I have to enter my Microsoft subscription details there previously. And I can select my subscription. And then you have to select in which region you want to deploy this virtual machine. And the DNS name should be always globally unique, something like this. And here, you have the option of selecting either Linux or Windows Server 2016, the TP3 version that you have the ability to deploy containers, right? And you're going to select the size, right? Be mindful about sizes. The more you go into depth, right, the more it's going to cost, right? You have to decide on the amount of RAM and resources you need. And then you provide the username, password, and the certificate directory. I'm going to leave it as it is and press OK. I already created this one. This takes a while to create a virtual machine through this. And once I do that, I can see that I can see that virtual machine running, not from this portal, only from this new Azure portal. Why? The virtual machine that is being created underneath is a generation 2, kind of like a VM, that works with Azure Resource Manager. So if I go to virtual machines, okay. As you can see, there are two running here, right? So I can choose either of these and deploy the application. So I'm going to close Visual Studio and open it again because I have already deployed one container and I have already have a pending project to be deployed. So once you did that deployment, that published thing, the first thing it's going to do is creating the virtual machine, right? Once it's finished, it'll come back to normal. And then you have to go to the project. And again, you have to select the publish option. So here, I'm going to select publish. Now, it will actually identify that you have created a virtual machine and we'll try to connect to that. So if I go to this connection tab, you can give it a name. And this is the URI that the container resides. This is the port that it accesses. So I'm going to give the port mapping to 8080 because why? I'm trying to do a web application that is accessible by HTTP. So here, Docker file, I can select as auto-generate, because this application, I haven't done any modifications, so I can let the project itself to take care of that. So I'm going to validate the connection here. So here, if you can see, this is the command to validate, right, via TLS security. OK. That being said, everything is in place, and let's hit publish. OK. So it's going to take some time for this container to be deployed and provisioned, right? So I already have one container that is running on ASP, container that is running ASP.NET web application. This is the same thing that is happening in background. It'll do all the copying and it'll actually put the files that is needed to deploy the container, right? Once this is finished, you get a success message after this saying build successful. Then you know it is actually working. So meanwhile, this is going on. Let's check. I have created a Docker host, Windows Server TP3. Can we connect to that? Okay. So I have already downloaded the RDP file. Okay, sorry. So if you can want to see what's there, you can see what are the commands that is available with the container, right? So okay, let me grab it here. Sorry. So okay, sorry about that. So I'm going to type I'm going to list the containers I have, right? So it says I cannot connect. I think I need to verify myself. Oh, I have this security permission missing. But remember, now here in this host itself, you can manage the container from here. But if you want to manage it remotely, right? You can use this CLI just to do that. So let me connect to this CLI. Okay, I have already typed all the commands required for that. I'm gonna connect to this container, right? I'm gonna type this command because if I haven't done that, I will run into that same issue where I will always have to authenticate again and again when I try to list something. Okay, so it's successfully connected. Then let's see what kind of containers that we have right of now. Okay, I have a container called WinDocker, port 8080 mapped, and up for what? 6 hours. Right? So if you want to get information on your container engine, so you can see the container engine, right? You can see the actual virtual machine that is running on here, right? And this command actually runs the containers that are actually running. So ps-a lists all the containers, whether they are running or not, right? You can see what are the container images that are available, right? So you have 3 there, okay? So that's pretty much it about management. So let's move on to the build part, right? So it's still building on. I think before we end the session, we will have this nice website. I have a pretty much basic website available with me. So this one. Now, this website actually runs in a containerized environment that I just showed you. So this is the basic ASP.NET sample page, right? There you can see it's a pretty much ASP.NET application. I'm using the preview version of ASP.NET 5. And remember, when you install Visual Studio 2015, there are a couple of other add-ins like the Docker extension for VS 2015 and the ASP.NET connectivity, the beta version you should install, right? If you don't want to do that, you just use good old PowerShell or the Azure Xplat CLI, put some commands in, and deploy the container from there. But remember, for that, you need to have a base package. I didn't have a base package. That's why I used Visual Studio to create a base package. All right, it says an error happened, right? I need to sort that out. So the important thing about this is now the developers used to say that if there is an issue with the application or when it comes to deploying the application, they will say, OK, IT should take care of deploying the application, right? But with this kind of a lightweight virtualization or containerized technology, you have an Azure subscription. You give that to the release engineer, to his Visual Studio. After the QA, you get that package to the release engineer. With a click of a button, he can deploy that. So we are there just to be there and see, OK, everything is going on. But still, we have to monitor whether it's working. So Azure has some great monitoring capabilities and extensions just to work with this web apps or Docker and whatnot. You can use those same extensions to monitor these as well. Right? So these are the related content that I've been talking about, right? So if you want, you can go to these resources are publicly available, right? So you can use them to learn more about this Xplat, Docker, and how to deploy Linux VMs in Azure. Any tips, what you want to know. And the other thing is, now, Hyper-V containers, as of now, it's not released yet. Windows Server containers, yes, right? So they are still in the stages of testing in TP3, right? So you can easily tell your development team saying, if you are telling today that this application is Linux only or Windows only, that is not going to be true. When this version comes in, you're going to have to make it a containerized application. You have to learn about containers. And give me the containerized application so I can deploy anywhere. Anybody can use it. OK? So if you have any questions regarding what we talked about, and if you want to know more about these technologies, my email address is here, my Twitter handle is here, and my Facebook account URL is here. And it's been a great 2 days, and tomorrow's going to be the last day. And I didn't expect this much of crowd interested in this tiny topic. But from what I see, this is the future of DevOps. I think you already know what DevOps are, right? So these are the guys that sits in the middle between us and the developers. So for them, this is their baby. So without any issues, we can just bridge between IT pros and the developers without passing any ball. Yeah, everybody can live in peace. So another important thing that you need to remember is, now, there are other container engines as well, right, like Kubernetes. So right now, Microsoft work with Docker, right? I don't know whether there are any plans to work with any other container engine that Google has or any other cloud provider has. So there will be. And I expect that it to be like that way. So we can always be heterogeneous, even in the cloud. So this conference is nothing without our great sponsors. So we must thank them firsthand, Cyrusson, Microsoft, ITNetX, and all the other our sponsors. And in the session planner tool, you have the feedback form, right? You can give me 5 stars or 2 stars if you find it very boring, very kind of like not informational. So I myself is happy and thrilled to be here in SEU Europe. I flew in from Sri Lanka 13 hours to just to be here. So it's been a great crowd and great 2 days. And please don't forget to fill out your survey so you can win some awesome stuff there. And thank you for coming, and thank you for learning these cross-platform technologies with Microsoft Azure. Thank you.